to a Hope 103.2 podcast.
Well, last time we were talking about the cheery topic of Jesus' teaching on death and the afterlife. Perhaps the hardest part of Jesus' teaching on this subject concerns judgment. He once put it like this. I'm quoting John chapter 5, verse 28. "The time will come when all of the dead will come out of their graves. Everyone who has done good things will rise to life, but everyone who has done evil things will rise and be condemned." None of us wants to be judged, and certainly none of us wants to be condemned. Most of us have a built-in mechanism that assures us, "I'm all right, I haven't done anything too bad." Unfortunately, we forget that Jesus and the Bible say more about pride than murder, more about selfishness than stealing. When I think about it, the selfishness that allowed me as a teenager to steal is exactly the same selfishness that encourages me to avoid helping my wife clean the house. Kings, beggars, old, young, rich, poor, everyone, according to Jesus, will be raised up sometime after death and be judged for what they have and haven't done. I've got to ask myself, how will I rate? Well, that's the bad news. The most unique and staggering aspect of Jesus' teaching on death is that free pardon and eternal life are on offer for everyone. Jesus put it like this in the same passage I just quoted from, John 5, verse 24. "I tell you for certain that everyone who hears my message and has faith in the one who sent me has eternal life and will never be condemned. They have already gone from death to life." Jesus assures us of God's forgiveness and of life forever. So the most crucial question is, how can we have this life that Jesus offers? Dr. Donald Barnhouse was a quite famous public speaker years ago. Sadly, just a few years after he was married, his wife died. His young daughter couldn't understand why Mum had to die. She went to her dad and one day asked, "Dad, you always told us that Jesus died for us. If Jesus died for us, why did Mummy have to die too?" He wanted to give her an answer her young mind could understand. So he said, "Honey, let me think about it so I can give you an answer that you will really understand." 2 or 3 days later, they were driving to the cemetery for the funeral. And as they were stuck in traffic, Dr. Barnhouse noticed a large truck in front of them. The sun was shining brightly so that the truck cast a huge shadow across the road. He turned to his daughter and said, "Darling, if you had to be run over, would you rather be run over by the truck or by the big shadow of the truck?" In her simple way, she said, "I'd much rather be run over by the shadow because the truck would hurt." Barnhouse responded, "Baby, that's sort of what Jesus did for Mummy when he died on the cross. He accepted the truck of death, God's judgment, so that only the shadow went over Mummy." Death is a reality. There's no way around it. But as this story tries to explain, the real pain of death is the judgment that follows. But Jesus died to take our condemnation away so that only the shadow of death will run over us. This is what Jesus meant when he said in John chapter 11, 25, "I am the one who raises the dead to life. Everyone who has faith in me will live, even if they die." Death doesn't have to mean condemnation. It can mean life. The ultimate question then is, do we trust in God and Jesus? It's not simply a matter of whether or not we believe they exist. Most people agree with that. It's a question of trust or confidence. Do we rely on Jesus for forgiveness and eternal life? Do we accept that by dying in our place and then rising again, he absorbed our judgment? If we do, his promise to us is pretty straightforward. Everyone who has faith in me will live, even if they die. One Saturday night years ago, I kissed goodbye to my girlfriend Buff, soon to be my wife, and said I'd call her in a day or two. The next day I rang to find out that she was sick and couldn't even come to the phone. A day later I received a call from one of her sisters telling me that Buff had been taken to the hospital. Over the next few days, they did a lot of tests on her and eventually discovered she'd had a brain hemorrhage and that a blood clot had formed on the right side of the brain. It had to be removed. Now, brain surgery is not the same as having your appendix out. It's often very dangerous. And at one stage, the doctors informed us that Buff had something like a 60% chance of surviving. I guess that's good, but I couldn't help feeling that it also meant that there was a 40% chance of her not surviving. Buff's mum flew back from overseas. Flowers and cards were arriving. All over Australia, people were praying for her. We were all worried. Everyone except Buff herself. The night before the operation, I visited her in hospital. She was in a lot of pain and pretty disoriented, but she was not scared. In fact, she seemed more worried about having her hair shaved off for the operation than she was about the operation itself. She figured that if the odds went against her and she died, she'd end up with God, so it wasn't so bad. Now, as it turned out, Buff's operation was a brilliant success. She was out of intensive care in a matter of hours and home after 10 days. Within a year, she was 100%. Within a couple of years, I married her. So maybe that means she wasn't 100%. But looking back, Buff doesn't recall feeling especially brave or heroic. In fact, she doesn't remember much of it at all. But being with her at the time, I was amazed at the way she had simple confidence in Jesus, the expert in this area of life and death. She believed he would keep his promise that everyone who has faith in me will live even if they die.
Hope 103.2. Thanks for listening.